The phone lines are open at 221-1402. On News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Hey, good morning, North State. This is Carl Bott, and welcome to News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here are 221-1402. And before I get started, I would like to send an acknowledgement to Cal at Adamson's Peak Performance for injuring Linda and I this morning during the workout.
It was a good injure.
Oh, yes.
He got us going.
Hey, I'm joined today by my producers. This is our last day this week. Aaron the Magnificent.
Good morning.
How are you today, Aaron?
Just great.
I know. You like it when we come in after working out because we just, you know, I kind of like bounce off the walls. And
you are. You're a little hyper this morning.
Well, you know, 12 cups of coffee, you know, bench pressing, you know, all those
things. Is the coffee to recover from your injury or is that to wake up to work out?
It's both.
Okay, know? Both.
I'm mainlining it today. And, of course, I'm joined by my partner, Linda Bott.
Good morning, North State. Guess what tonight is?
You tell us.
Tonight is the final presidential debate.
Crowd yelling.
Oh, that's it. If you are in the middle of the road, you haven't decided, you need to be turning on the TV, or KQMS is going to be broadcasting it live. Boy, I'll tell you what, I have never experienced such, again, I'm going to use the word volatility, with just people in the grocery store line or people on the street or just starting to get gas someplace and hear people. People are.
Best friends are calling each other names.
Oh, man.
In this, and they're getting upset about this. You know, they say, how can you go this way or that way? You know, the whole thing is really, really strange. And it's not bad, it's just a little strange. Like, you know, we've been going, you know, talking about this, and one of the reasons that people are so volatile, and that's a good point here, is the reason it's so volatile is the things that are being said in the media about the people running for office. You know, Obama is a Muslim, that he's not even born in the United States. McCain is, you know, is a coward, and he doesn't know anything about computers. Well, for somebody who doesn't know anything about computers, he could land jets in the middle of the night on an aircraft carrier. You know, and Palin is this, and Biden's a plagiarist, and, you know, and Palin shoots wolves out of helicopters, and but now, you know, it's gotten to the point where it's just, you know, from both sides, the nastiness is going back and forth, you know, and the latest now, and I call on Reddit, you know, the Record Searchlight on this one, is you've got Doonesbury. Every day during the week, Doonesbury is right where it belongs on the editorial pages because it makes statements like that right next to, you know, the thing about Mallard Fillmore, you know, the one that's on the conservative side. But on Sundays, Doonesbury goes back into the funnies, you know, along with Dennis the Menace and some of these other, you know, comics. It's not a comic, though. It's not a funny. It's a political statement. And on this last weekend, it was really tough. It went right after McCain, went right after Palin. Nothing about, you know, there's no form at all of fairness in this at all. Does it belong in the funny papers? Does it belong in the comics? Does it belong in an editorial page? Hey, I think it belongs in an editorial page. I mean, it may be funny, but it's a political statement. And it doesn't belong back there. Put it in the editorial page. You got room. Put it back in there, Record Searchlight, at least after this election. Or have something else that balances it out, which you don't. Anyway. Hey, look, we got to take a quick break here. We have a number of guests that are going to be calling in. This is Carl Bott on News Talk, 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here are 221-1402. Hey, this is Carl Bott. Welcome back to News Talk, 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here, 221-1402. Rob, good morning.
Good morning, Carl.
Hey, this is Rob Burrows. Rob does a number of things for our community. One of the things he does is he performs funeral services as a Navy chief at IGO. And that's one of the that's the reason that Rob's calling today.
Yep. Carl, this morning I just wanted to bring to light some situations, you know, in our community. On Monday, we had the privilege of interning a Pearl Harbor survivor out there at IGO. And it was myself and another chief. We were able to perform that ceremony and the honors to the family there. But one of our biggest concerns is that there were supposed to be a couple different veteran service organizations that were to be out there and help honor this fallen Pearl Harbor survivor. And the only people that showed up were four Pearl Harbor survivors from the different units in the Northern California area. And, of course, when it comes to the individual, it's always the unit members that support the individual because they were there, they served together, and that unity will be there until their last day. But my biggest, my biggest concern was that there wasn't anybody from the newspaper there. There wasn't anybody from the TV station there. We didn't have any other veterans from our community or civilians from our community out there to support that family. You know, these are our original heroes, these Pearl Harbor survivors. They were there at the most horrific time in our nation's history, and they stood up. They kept on going. They didn't fall out. Didn't say, this is too tough for me. They stepped up to the line, and they carried out the duty so that we could have the freedom we have today. And for nobody to be there for these veterans as they're passing away, I think it's a tragedy, especially since this community fought so hard to get this IGO Cemetery out there. And then we have these heroes that are silently falling away, and nobody knows. And these veterans, they should be brought out and highlighted in our community. I know we have so many different things in the news right now, but this is our community. These are our people, and we should be recognizing these people, these heroes in our community, no matter what. And so, you know, I'm the team leader for the Honor Guard team out here for the United States Navy, and since our return from Iraq in September, yesterday or Monday was 130th service, and that's just Navy. And we volunteer for all different branches of service. I've served for every branch of service out there as a volunteer. But it's so important for us to remember these people, these men and women, as they pass.
Well, you know, that Rob, from what I understand, our World War II veterans are dying something like 1,000 or 1,200 a day.
That's correct.
You know, what we need to do is I mean, I don't know if – I know that the PGR, who I'm associated with, anytime anybody approaches them, they've got put things out all over the internet, and I didn't see any. Now, I don't, you know, maybe it was because I didn't look, or maybe it just didn't get to them. But as far as the media, you know, that's something that was, were they invited specifically?
They weren't. But you know, we have a public interest. Our community papers should be looking for these public interests to make sure that our community knows, our people know, our community knows that these veterans are passing like they are. This is our history. This is our heritage.
Well, we need. I think what we need to do is that when we have something like this happen, when our heroes are fallen, and we are going to provide honors to them, and I believe that we need to get the word out to, you know, and there's got to be a way of getting the word out to the media, to the newspapers, to the TV stations, to the radio, to let people know that another one of our heroes is passing away. But
I agree. I completely agree. No.
Is there somebody that works in the publicity, if there is a publicity with IGO? Rob, hi, it's Linda.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning, darling. Anyway, is there some kind of publicist that perhaps as people come in and they are being buried at the cemetery, that there would be a...
public relations out there.
Exactly, that would go to all of the media outlets, because so I know we've been told here at KQMS that there was nothing received here.
Right. You know, Steve Jorgensen is the chairman out there, and he does a fabulous job out there with the IGO Cemetery. I know they have a short staff, a small staff, and they've got a lot of different responsibilities. The call is not to chastise everybody. The call is to make our community aware that our veterans are falling and slipping away from our community at an alarming rate. And that, you know, we need to remember these men and these women as they go, and especially our Pearl Harbor survivors. You know, they're not any better than anybody else, but they were there at a very specific time in our history when our men and women were needed, and they stepped up to that plate, and they followed through. And
well, so, you know, Rob, you know, we need to get the word out, like you said, and we've got to, you know, why don't we sit down and think of a way down to get something like a media release that we can put out all at one time. But thanks, Rob. Thanks so much for calling. And thanks for your service to the community. I really, really appreciate that.
It's my privilege.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Okay, we've got to take a break here. News Talk 1400 KQMS. Our guest today will be Doug LaMoffa, who's on the phone. We're going to be talking about propositions. And we also got some other people on the phone, and we're going to get to you as soon as we get back from the break. It's Carl Bott. Join us on the other side. Hey, this is Carl Bott, and welcome back to News Talk 1400 KQMS. Doug LaMoffa, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, thanks for joining us this morning, Doug.
You got really quiet there, Carl. What happened to you there?
Oh, I got really quiet? I think the caffeine's wearing off. The caffeine's wearing off. I'll run around the room here for a minute.
I don't know, Doug. That's pretty unusual. We got to get him closer to the microphone, I guess.
Hi, Linda.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
Hey, we're going to talk about some of the propositions today.
All right. Well, there's certainly plenty to pick from, so.
So where do you, how many of them, how many propositions are there this time?
Well, there's 12 statewide ones this go around, so that's a lot of homework for people to do to make good decisions on these votes. So I hope they dig in, and I know your show here and others like it around the state that hopefully are doing the same thing are going to be very instrumental in getting people information that they're not able to track down themselves.
What I want to do is I want to talk about all the propositions between now and November 4th. Either on this show or Saturday show, and then starting in the beginning of November, we're going to be on Monday through Wednesday again. So I want to try and hit all the propositions so everybody can, you know, hear something. I want to get, you know, your take on it. I'm going to get a take on, you know, League of Women Voters and some others so that we can try and get get out there so people can also study it at the same time, like you said. Well, what do you think the most contentious one is right now?
I guess it depends on your perspective, but one that's probably going to have a lot of voter turnout tied to it will be Proposition 8 of the restoration of marriage to be between one man and one woman. There, as you know, the Supreme Court a couple of months ago, back in June, I think it was, decided to overturn Proposition 22, which had been passed by the people of California, affirming marriage as one man and one woman. Unfortunately, what was wrong with Prop 22 was that it was only a statute, which is basically means it's just a law, which can be overturned. It was not a constitutional amendment. The constitutional amendment requires more signatures and more effort when you place that on the ballot to get that done. So part of the problem was that they didn't want to have to get twice the amount of signatures to place it on the ballot back in 2000, and so they thought by passing a law that maybe the legislature and the courts would honor that. Well, it's been ever since I've been in the legislature, 2002, one of the assemblymen from San Francisco, it's been his holy grail to try and change marriage despite what the people said in Prop 22.
Yeah. Hey, Doug, I've been hearing things, or I should say I've been reading things, that if this doesn't pass, that that churches can be sued for not performing same-sex marriages, that schools can be sued if they're not teaching that it's perfectly normal to have mommy or daddy as parents. Is this true?
The potential is there. I mean, the bill doesn't state that that's what will happen, but we can see that the legal system will be tested by that as soon as, you know, if your church has a tradition of performing weddings. And somebody decides, well, hey, let's make an example out of this particular church. We're going to have a same-sex marriage there and make them do it. If they don't, we're going to sue them. You know, this is a very strong potential that could be happening. Schools very well could have to have that in their curriculum. We already saw that with the SB 777 that we attempted a few months ago to get something on the ballot to overturn that law, which is going to require more and more same-sex lifestyle stuff to be taught in school.
Was there enough, or at least
embraced in school?
Did they ever get enough signatures for that?
It ran out of time because we first tried it as a referendum. You only had basically 70 days, and it was over the holidays. to try and do it. So they attempted to have another ballot measure to undo it, but the marriage one was on at the same time, so all of us involved with it down there thought it'd be a better call to back off on that one and first get the marriage one before we go after.
Okay. Hey, Doug. Doug, I'm against a hard break right now. So, hey, this is Carl Bott. I'm joined by Doug LaMoffa, our assemblyman, here on Newstalk 1400 KQMS. The phone lines are lit up, and we'll get to you as soon as we get back from the break. Hey, this is Carl Bott. Welcome back to Newstalk 1400 KQMS. Let's go to the phones. Don, thanks for waiting.
Good morning.
Good morning,
everybody.
Hey.
In regards to that last talk about the veterans, in the record searchlight, you know, they do put a American flag by each veteran that has died. So
okay.
That does, you know, show that they do know, so that people
they recognize
know that
them.
Was a veteran. That's in the searchlight.
Right. I think what we need to do is get with IGO or
right.
other places and say we need to have some kind of press release.
Yeah, well, their PR person can easily do that with PSAs, you know, fax them out.
Oh, yeah.
There's no cost there. But in regards to Mr. LaMalfa and him talking about Proposition 8 this morning,
right.
I would just like to say this, that I'm very disappointed that he's so strident against citizens and taxpaying citizens of his district who live in Redding, in Chico, and throughout the district, who happen to be gay and lesbian, and why he is so vitriolic about Proposition 8 concerns me. He claims to represent everybody in the district. Now, he's not doing that by coming out so hardball against Proposition 8. And I challenge him and I challenge the listeners to tell anybody how Proposition 8 will affect their marriage if they happen to be a man and a woman. How two men or two women will affect their marriage. I challenge that because there is nothing that will change their marriage or their lifestyle or anything. And in Shasta County alone, in July, 20 same-gender couples coming from Oregon and Washington and other parts of California came to Shasta County and got married and pumped money because, you know, there's fees for the licensing and the marriage ceremonies. So Shasta County is getting revenue from this alone, and $11,000 in the state of California, if you just do the math, you know, just average $50 or $75 for the license and the ceremony, you can see that there's an economic benefit to it.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Doug's...
As well as an equality benefit. This is all about equality and civil marriage. It has nothing to do with marriages with churches or religious entities.
Okay, Don. Doug?
Well, but it will, because this is a very militant movement here. It's not just about acceptance of a lifestyle.
Well, if you go to the polls...
Don,
acceptance of gay and lesbian persons are not...
Hey, Don, Doug listen to you, so it's your turn to listen to Doug, and then you'll have your turn back,
sure.
Okay? All right, Doug.
Thank you. We see that it's been a very militant movement. It's not just about having the rights that have been, over time, made available with, you know, hospital visitations and wills and all the things. You know, there's a heck of a lot of legislation that's been passed to make sure that there's not discrimination. But
yes.
You're now attacking a time-honored tradition of marriage between one man and one woman, and not only it won't end there, it'll end in churches being sued, most likely, because churches with their religious convictions, it's right there in the Bible, do not accept this type of union. And
this
so
proposition has nothing to
enough.
Do with the Bible or religion.
For Gavin Newsom. That won't be enough for Gavin Newsom and the militants you see in the Bay Area. Now, many people may not want to test that, but we see this as being a danger to traditional values and traditional marriage, and I'm not vitriolic about this thing. Everybody can do what they want to do on their own time with their own lifestyles, but to me, you've crossed a line when you want to redefine marriage, and I think if you look in the hearts somewhere, everyone that is for that knows somewhere in their heart that what they're doing is crossing a line, and they won't admit it, and maybe they've layered over that.
Well, I don't know why you're putting words in people's mouths like that. You don't know that at all. You cannot say that. This is an equal rights, civil rights issue. It has nothing to do with religion.
Well,
nothing.
I disagree. And I think as far as it being an economic situation, you know, one of my colleagues who happens to come from
okay.
Particular caucus. You know, he was joking around with me that, you know, me as a rice grower, like, I could probably see rice sales go up because there'd be more weddings. And, you know, we laughed about that, but I don't really want to see that. I don't really need that business.
This proposition does not threaten you, and you know that.
It threatens a moral value of this state.
Are you saying that gay people are not moral and wanting to get the same equal rights and that you do the 1,000 federal and state rights that you have? No.
They have every other right.
No, we do not.
We're changing.
There are 1,000, over 1,000 civil, federal, and state rights that are not granted to gay and lesbian people because they cannot get married at this point prior to the Supreme Court decision.
I tell you what, hey, Don.
Sure.
I appreciate your phone call, and I appreciate you listening. And this is what this show is for. It's to present other sides. And you did real well.
Thanks.
Hey, thanks a lot, Don.
You know my subject.
Thanks so much, and call again. Okay. Russell, good morning.
Good morning.
What can we do for you, Russell?
How are you doing this morning, Carl?
Fine.
Mr. LaMassa, I'd like to thank you for being with us this morning. It's great to hear from you, and I'm glad to hear that you're in support of defining marriages between a man and a woman. In regards to what the gentleman before me was just talking about, as much as he wants to call this a civil rights issue, he can think what he wants, but this is a religious and moral issue. If he wants to talk about the Bible not having to do anything with it, he needs to stop and look at the justice system and the laws that we have in this country are based on biblical concepts. The Ten Commandments gave us our first set of laws, and it's like if they want to throw the Bible out, let's just throw all our laws out, too. As a Christian in California, as a voter here in California, and as somebody who believes in my rights, I don't believe that this is an issue to be settled in the lawmaking process. I'm totally against 777 wanting to go through, taking out all references to male or female genders out of our school systems. I believe that marriage should be defined as a man and a woman. This all have to do with social change. It has nothing to do with the law, and they need to accept this. This is an immoral lifestyle. And the last time the people of California voted on this, we resoundingly said for 61% of us, no, we do not want to recognize gay and lesbian marriage. And we should not be forced to have to recognize this.
Okay, well, Russell, there's your chance here on November 4th is for the people who are going to go out and vote on this. And thank you so much. Thank you so much for your phone call.
Thank you.
Doug.
And you know, it isn't just enough about having the civil unions and the same legal rights on legal matters and things like that. It really is about making you and me like it, because that's why you see these parades going on. Some very, really offensive things happening in those gay pride parades that if it was the equal was happening with the heterosexual parade, there'd probably be people arrested over that. So, but it's right now it's a protected activity because everybody's afraid to say boo about it. So.
Well, I tell you what, Doug, it appears that, you know, that we've lit a fire here today, because I tell you the phone lines are lit up. We got to take a quick break here. This is Carl Bott on News Talk 1400 KQMS. My guest is Assemblyman Doug LaMaffa, who is coming in here and he's armored up. Join us on the other side. Okay, this is Carl Bott. Welcome back to News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here, 221-1402, but I think you all know that since they're backed up. Okay, I'm going to take one more phone call on this proposition. We've got to move on to the next ones. Tom, good morning.
Oh, good morning. I just kind of tuned in here sort of late, and you're talking about Proposition 8. And, you know, this has kind of been backed into a corner, and it's a reverse of what the proposition really set out to do, was just define marriage as a man, as between one man and one woman. And because the Supreme Court has now thrown out the statute that we voted in several years ago, now it's on the ballot as a negative to take away a right. And that's a very cunning way to do it, because now it looks like it's going to lose because, we're taking away rights. Well, who wants to discriminate? So they make you feel like you're discriminating if you vote for this initiative. And all this initiative does is define what marriage has been as a social institution for eons. Now, as far as I've seen the way this movement is operated, and I'm not going to sit here and gay bash this morning, because as a Christian, I'm supposed to love everybody, including people whose lifestyles I don't approve of. But I have seen this move from first tolerance, which I can accept that because I don't believe anybody ought to be persecuted for their beliefs or the way they live. Then it's moved to acceptance. Now we're moving into embracing, and the next step, and it's already happening, is censure anybody who doesn't go along. And I will tell you how that is already happening. They want to move this sexual orientation up to have the same level of rights as race. And when you do that, then churches that will not allow interracial marriage, like, it's a university, what's that, Bob Jones University, North Carolina, they lost their tax-exempt status in 1983. We saw the Supreme Court here in California say that, well, these doctors that refuse to artificially inseminate a lesbian couple, that they are, you know,
They were sued about that, too, yes.
Gay rights trumps religious freedom. There is a case, a Methodist camp meeting in New Jersey was sued and lost when it denied permission for a same-sex couple to use its chapel for a civil ceremony. In Berkeley and San Diego, the Boy Scouts can't even use public facilities because of the no-discrimination policy, and this has been included. So, yes, it does have implications beyond just the rights of those people who want to get married, who are of the same sex. Make it some kind of a contract, whatever, but do not extend the same implication here as you do for race. That's where it's heading, and we're going to suffer for it. Our religious freedoms, any church that won't go along with us will eventually lose its tax-exempt status. And this has
Tom.
Been really kind of where the rubber hits the road.
Yeah. Hey, Tom.
Okay.
Let me...
You
have made your point, Tom. I think everybody's afraid of the slippery slope, if there is there. But as Don said earlier, he said he just wants to have the right to marry the person he loves. And, I can see where he's coming from, but I also believe in that slippery slope, too. That once it starts, that, you know, where's it going to stop? Tom, thank you so much.
It's already happening. The Supreme Court said these doctors do not have a religious conscience clause to say, we will. They even told them where they could go. They sued. This is a militant group that is bent on forcing their view on us, not the other way around. We're not telling them how to live. I mean, if they want to live together, fine. But I don't want my religious liberty trounced upon because my church or something does not accept this. And that is where it is moving toward.
All right, Tom, thanks a lot.
Tom, you're a rock star. I couldn't have said it better.
Hey, Doug.
Yes, sir.
What's the next proposition you want to talk about?
Well, since we're on that general direction here, I think Proposition 4 certainly is worth talking about a bit. This is one that's been attempted before, and it was actually the highest receiving proposition in the special election in 2005. This is the basic common sense parental right situation of allowing parents to be notified before their minor child, their daughter, is taken by someone to an abortion mill.
Minor meaning under 18?
Correct. Correct.
And is it 18 or is it 16? Was it 18?
Well, it affects minors, so
okay.
Essentially if you're an emancipated minor, or I suppose it may not apply to you, but
yeah.
It allows parental notification or a guardian of that particular young lady.
Why has this failed in the past? It seems like if a child can't even get a Tylenol at school without the parents being notified, that the fact that she can now go to an abortionist or have an abortion, I'm sorry, not an abortionist, but have an abortion performed without telling the parents, understand that. I mean, what is the argument against that?
Just enough of a doubt is created in voters' minds to scare them away from the issue. You have Planned Parenthood and groups like that dumping a lot of money in against it because it means less business for them. You have a situation where in the 2005 election, everything failed because I think the voters just voted against everything. In 2006, it was Prop 85. And again, it was the second bite, and it was a pretty concerted effort to try and defeat it. This time, it seems to be doing pretty good because I don't know if people are more fed up with it or if there's other things on the ballot that are eclipsing it, but people on the natural seem to be inclined to do this. It just happens that when it gets political, when it gets obfuscated with usual deceptive effort,
yeah.
Then people get a little more nervous about voting for something.
I'd like to get I'd like to have some women callers call in who have daughters, and I'd like to hear personally from women how they feel about this Proposition 4.
Well, you don't want to get my wife on the phone because she's pretty fired up that she would want that right as a parent to know what's going on with her three daughters, as do I. But, you know, like I tell people, is that there's something special about the mother relationship with the daughters that even the father probably can't quite get around as much as I care. You do not get between a lioness and her cubs, so to speak, you know.
But, yep. We're going to take a quick break here. We've got the phone lines, of course, backed up. It's News Talk 1400 KQMS. This is Carl Bott. And join us on the other side. We'll get to you as soon as we get back. Hey, this is Carl Bott. Welcome back to News Talk 1400 KQMS. Edith, thanks for waiting.
No problem, Carl.
What's up?
Well, as far as the gay side of it, I know we've switched topics, but I think we could have ended this a long time ago just by doing same-sex partnership, simply because really all they want is the same rights as a husband and wife have when someone gets sick, that they don't have to have a power of attorney to go in and deal with their health care, their medical, and that kind of stuff.
I think that's there already now, but and the argument is why can't we be married in the eyes of God? Because that we love each other like this and
well,
make
then
a religious
all
service.
All I can say is if you're going to allow it, you can let them go stand before God and he can explain it to them. but as far as the high school 16-year-old abortion, I'll tell you what, that's only the beginning of the ladder that these high schools will allow these kids to do. We had an incident with high school because my daughter was almost 18. They went as far as to transfer transcripts and all kinds of information to another school without even advising us, because she was almost 18 and she didn't want to be in this county anymore.
Uh-huh.
And the counselor and everything at that school went through and made every plan and had it done. And by the time I got down and talked to him, the only thing they told me was it was her decision when she's 18. This is her choice.
Oh, well, see.
And so it goes further than just the abortion.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah, I don't want them being able to take my daughter anywhere. I don't care if it's to a doctor after an accident at a sports sports activity. Basically, it's just a matter of, I think the schools are getting a whole lot more power than they need. I mean, I've had my girlfriend's son got suspended for 3 days because she sent him to school with two Tylenol. He went to the office and registered him, and they sent him home and suspended him.
Because he brought medicine to school?
Because he brought Tylenol to school.
Ooh.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, I know. But, yet
but I mean, they've taken the soda out. They've taken everything out. And what they don't understand, it isn't all necessarily what they consume. It's the lack of activity they have.
Well,
in my opinion, the schools have got a lot more power than people understand or even know. And this abortion thing is a mere tip of the iceberg.
Edith, thanks for the phone call.
Bye.
Okay. Doug, we got a couple minutes here. What's that last one we wanted to talk about?
Well, these have been very good topics here on the moral side of issues, and there's also some very expensive things on this ballot, and I just heard a Prop 10 ad a minute ago where someone's decided that we should use bond dollars that are going to cost two for one to pay back to help people buy hybrid cars. what an inappropriate use of tax dollars is trying to incentivize, according to someone's definition or political correctness, that, why don't we help people with taxpayer dollars to go buy the types of cars that we decide they should be in?
Yeah.
Well, it's talking about, you know, wind energy and solar energy. We have private corporations and private individuals that are out there doing that research and technology and actually already producing these technologies out there, and yet we have the state of California is going to come in and do it better. So I think that's a big fat no on Prop 10 because it's an inappropriate area. If you want to talk about energy in the state, let's produce nuclear power. Let's produce hydroelectric power, which comes when you build a dam.
Hey, Doug,
water, et cetera. So.
Doug, I'm getting to a hard break here at the end of the show, but can I ask you to come back on the show here in the near future so we can start talking about a few more of these?
Yeah, let's cross some off the list. We'll start on some others
right.
the next time. So
yeah, hey, okay. Hey, Doug, thanks so much for joining us today and taking
You're
time
welcome.
To do
Thank
that.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, now the big thing too is tomorrow night we have the forum for the city council. It's going to be on at 7 o'clock on channel 11 and channel 9, and you can see all your city council, six of your eight city council members are going to be asked questions by the Record Searchlight, channel 7. So tune in tomorrow for that at 7 o'clock, and then tune in on Saturday for our Free Fire Saturday show. We're going to be talking more about these propositions.
Also, Saturday night is the Freedom Festival. Hey. We'll be out there emceeing. Join us out at the Convention Center from 5 on.
All right. Hey, look, this is Carl and Linda Bott here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?